Our text this morning is Matthew 13:44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." This is our text. You may be seated. What do you value? What is your treasure? I suppose this is a fairly obvious question for me to ask in light of Jesus' parables this morning. In them, Jesus describes something of great value being discovered both by the man who purchases the field where the hidden treasure is and the one who purchases the pearl. So it makes sense to consider, what are those things that we value? After all, Jesus tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Of course, we are to hold in high regard those worldly gifts that God has given to us, the gift of life, the gift of our parents, our spouses, our siblings, our children, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our vocations. We are to thank God for giving us daily bread and for all that we need to support this body and life. These are certainly things that we are to treasure. More importantly, we know that we are to treasure the heavenly things of God, to treasure His Word, to treasure coming together as His people, to receive His gifts of Word and Sacrament, to treasure our baptisms. These things are of inestimable value because they are things that God has given to strengthen us in this life and to lead us to life everlasting. The hymnist is right to describe Jesus as a priceless treasure. For us sinful people, we have a tendency to abuse or misuse or turn into idols some of those earthly treasures that God has given us. Money is a gift, but how often do we assume that we need more of it? Or do we put our trust in it? Or how often would we rather spend it on ourselves than giving it to Christ's church? Our family is a gift. And yet Jesus says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind." Jobs, careers, these are a gift. Our hobbies and other things we enjoy are as well, but how often do those things get in the way of coming to God's house or being in His Word or prayer? And the gifts of money and property and all the toys that we like to accumulate, all the things that God has given us, which of those things will we be able to carry into heaven and bring into the life to come? None of them. We do not always treasure the things that we ought. As we've been going through the parables of Jesus as recorded in Matthew chapter 13 these last few weeks, you've probably noticed how Jesus introduces most of them. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And then he goes on to present the parable. Now, there were two others that we didn't read. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard, and the kingdom of heaven is like leaven." But the point here is that there is something in Jesus' parables, in these seemingly simple stories, that we believers are to take away. Some understanding about how God works, or how the kingdom of heaven works, how it grows, how it's sustained, or last week we talked about what it's like for God's people to live in a world surrounded by evil. And in the last 2 weeks' gospel readings, fortunately, especially for the preacher, Jesus has explained what the parables mean, what truth that we are supposed to unearth from them. But not so this week, at least not with the parable of the treasure in the field and the treasure of the pearl. And so, as you might imagine, there is some disagreement with what the takeaway is supposed to be from these two parables. What is the comparison? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. The typical understanding of these two parables is what I alluded to earlier, that is, that the things of God are so valuable that we should give up everything that we have in order to obtain them. That is, give up everything we have to obtain the kingdom of heaven. You see the problem with this? We don't do it. We literally haven't given up everything. In fact, we hold quite firmly sometimes to the things of this life, so we're in a bit of a quandary with regards to our own sinfulness. The kingdom of heaven is so important. In fact, you could say it's the only thing that ultimately matters, and yet so much matters to us. So many other things seek our attention, things other than the kingdom of God. And so what? Are we unable, or at least unwilling, to obtain the kingdom? Is it out of reach? To illustrate another way of understanding Jesus' words, I have a story for you. It's a story about a cemetery. Now, that's not the most pleasing of topics, I realize, but I want you to picture a cemetery in your mind. Maybe there's one in your neighborhood, or maybe there's one that you've visited. Perhaps you might think of the cemetery where a loved one is buried. They can be very beautiful places, very peaceful places. When flowers are put on the graves, when the lawn is nicely mowed, when the shrubs are pleasantly formed, cemeteries can be quite lovely when they're well cared for. My parents are buried in a national cemetery, and I'm sure you can picture one of those with all the same shaped white headstones, all in rows, kind of diagonal as you look down the rows. But I want you to picture that cemetery, but then I want you to change the picture a little bit, and now picture it in complete disrepair, as if no one has taken care of the place in decades. The lawn's not mowed, there's weeds growing up, some of the headstones are knocked over, some of them are cracked. No one's visited in a while. There's animals making their homes on the grounds. That's the cemetery for this story. Now, this particular cemetery wound up in the hands of a private owner. And the owner didn't really care for the graves. He didn't know who was buried there. He didn't care who was buried there. He just wanted a nice, quiet place to get away from it all, I guess. But one day, a very wealthy traveler comes to the town where that cemetery is. And he had heard about this place. He knew about the cemetery. And he actually knew about a very important person who was buried there. Someone whom history had sort of forgotten about. So this traveler has in mind that he's going to do something about this. He's going to fix this cemetery up in honor of that individual. He wants to buy it, restore it, maybe put a monument over where that important person is buried. And so he goes to the owner to inquire about purchasing. Well, the owner, he knows who this guy is. He knows how much money he possesses. And he thinks to himself, well, what if I just asked for this outrageous price? If I don't get it, fine, I still have my cemetery. But if he gives it to me, I'll be wealthy. And so he makes him an offer. He offers to sell at a price that no one would ever consider purchasing a piece of property for, much less a cemetery. Well, the traveler decides that he's going to do it. So he liquidates all of his assets. He sells everything he has. He cashes out his stocks, sells his bonds, and purchases the cemetery. The current owner thinks him a fool, but he gladly takes his money. Well, the transaction happens, and years go by, actually decades maybe, and finally the new owner decides it's time to give that important person's grave the makeover he wanted to do from the beginning. It's the reason he bought the cemetery, was to take care of this one grave. But he does something strange. He doesn't start out by mowing the lawn. He doesn't put a new headstone up. He doesn't even put a monument or do anything special to the grave. Instead, he starts digging it up. He just digs up the grave and he takes the body right out of the ground. For you see, that's your grave. It's mine. It's the grave of every loved one who has died in the faith. And the new owner of the cemetery, the new owner of that field, is our Lord Christ. For he has purchased and won you. For you and I are the treasure. You who don't value Jesus as you ought, you who seek after earthly treasure, are nevertheless highly valued by our Lord. Of such value are you that Jesus emptied himself. He gave up the glories of heaven to become man. He sold everything he had, as it were. He gave his life as a ransom for your life, and he bought that field right out from under the nose of the devil, because you are there. And he took you, his treasure, and he baptized you, he made you his own, and now your life is hidden in Christ. To the world of unbelievers, you don't look like you're of any particular value. You may probably even look a little strange and backwards at times, what with your going to church and all, you're talking about Jesus, you're reading the Bible. And when you die, it will look to the world like any other death. But your Lord knows differently. For the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And when your last day comes, whenever that is, when God decides, you will be buried. And when Christ returns and when the trumpet sounds, he will call you forth out of that field, out of that cemetery, wherever your bones or ashes may be, and he will speak your name and you will rise. And you will be given a new, glorified body and will spend eternity with Christ and all fellow believers in him. As chosen people, as those who have entered eternal life now, even though that life is hidden, what you are, a holy child of the Most High God, you are a citizen of heaven, and even though that reality may be hidden from the world, just like the treasure hidden in the field, your lives are yet a reflection of that. Your lives look different. That may cause persecution for you as an individual. It may cause persecution for the church. May is probably the wrong word. Will cause persecution. But what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, if God descended from heaven, if God became man, if God died for you and rose again and claims you and me as his treasure, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? There is no one. There is no one who can take the treasure of Christ's death and resurrection from you, and there is no one who can take you from the Lord. He bought the field. He bought your life. Praise be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.